That's the sound of Occupy Wall Street. It actually was when protesters were arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge this weekend. 700 arrests. We are going to talk about the Occupy movement, which is growing in this country. It started in New York. It's been going on for about 3 weeks now, and it's spreading to other U.S. cities. And there are plans to occupy Madison and Milwaukee and perhaps other Wisconsin cities. What is this all about? 1-800-642-1234. What are your impressions of these demonstrations, and what are your hopes or fears? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 4th. Our guest this hour is Matt Rothschild. He is publisher of The Progressive Magazine, based in Madison, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Joy.
So we noticed that you wrote a piece a while back, actually, that that said, congratulations, Wall Street occupiers. You are happy to see people in the streets once again.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. And, you know, it's so exciting here in Wisconsin to see people in the streets in huge numbers, bigger numbers that are in Wall Street right now. But to see this kind of spontaneous, nonviolent civil disobedience just growing and growing in New York City right now is exciting in and of itself, because I've been wondering, you know, how long are people just going to sit down and take it, or lie, turn over and lie down and take it? And so the answer is that people aren't taking it anymore so much, and that's a great thing. It's a great thing here in Wisconsin. It's a great thing in Wall Street. The thing about the Wall Street protest that I also like is just that the target is absolutely right.
Who's the target?
The target's the Wall Street bankers who ruined the economy by giving bad loans and then playing around with unregulated financial instruments so that everybody got entangled. And when one of those investments went down, everybody went down. And who paid the price? Not the bankers, but, you know, people who are unemployed right now, the 16 million people unemployed, and people who got foreclosed upon, and people who are in jobs that they can't get full hours for. I mean, it's the economy's terrible. I don't need to remind the listeners who saw the stock market yesterday go down 258 points or who are looking for work. And for people to focus then again on Wall Street and the ripoff that was the Wall Street bailouts, you know, I'm reminded of Michael Moore's Capitalism, A Love Story. And he went there himself, kind of on an antic or a prank, with yellow crime tape all around Wall Street. Well, instead of having one guy filming himself putting up yellow crime tape, we have, you know, thousands of people sitting down there saying the same thing.
One of the criticisms of the movement, though, Matt, is that or the protests, is that they're unfocused, and that there didn't seem to be a specific message. What is the message to you? What do the protesters want?
Well, the message is pretty clear to me. I mean, you know, we are the 99%, and we're against the ripoffs and the greed on Wall Street. I mean, that is, you know, 1% of this country is just made out like bandits. 0.1% is really made out like bandits. And the rest of the population hasn't, almost all of them. I mean, in the last four decades, the top 0.1% of Americans saw their income go up 385%, whereas the bottom 90%, almost everybody else, lost money. And so finally, there's this recognition. I think there was this recognition among a majority of the American people anyway that this was a huge unfairness and a huge ripoff. But finally, people are doing something about it. And that's what I applaud so much.
Mm-hmm. And what do the protesters want, though? What do you want to result from these protests?
Well, I want them to keep protesting and to stay nonviolent. I think they've succeeded already. I know there are a lot of critics out there who say you've got to, you know, translate your anger at Wall Street and the bailout and the inequality of the bailout and of our current economy into what, a set of 5 points or 10 points or, you know, 20 points or, you know, Martin Luther's whole nail to the door points. I mean, that's not necessary, I don't think. So I think the critics are asking too much of these protesters. The protesters have done what protesters have always done throughout history, which is to raise their voices to protest against an injustice. And then it's up to the legislators later on to translate that frustration into policy. But to ask the protesters to come up with a 10-point plan, I think, is to ask too much. I just hope they keep doing what they're doing, keep pointing the finger at the problem, the major problem, one of the most crucial problems in our society, a problem that Fighting Bob LaFollette dedicated his whole life to fighting against, the problem of inequality in corporate power and an unjust economy. And they're doing it beautifully.
Is this the U.S. version of the Arab Spring? Is this, as some commentators say, the American Autumn?
Well, it's very interesting to note how infectious in the best way nonviolent social protest is. I mean, I remember here in February in Madison, people saying this is our Tahrir Square from Egypt. And there are people saying that about Wall Street. There are people, you know, talking about the Arab Spring, as you just mentioned, and translating it here to the United States. And it happened not just in Egypt, Tunisia and Egypt and throughout the Arab world, but it also then had an effect here and had an effect in places like Madrid, where there was an occupation for 25 days over the summer, and where it was kind of like this one, primarily young people. They didn't have, a concrete set of goals or demands going in. They called themselves the indignant. And what we're seeing in Wall Street is indignation.
Yeah. And this is apparently primarily young people or younger people, too, who are occupying. Why do you think that is?
Well, for one thing, the unemployment rate for people between the ages of 16 and 24 in this country is 18.4%, which is a 60-year high. For another thing, some young people who don't have work have time and don't have the have time to go out and protest and don't have the obligations that keep the rest of us kind of pinned down to our chairs. And so oftentimes in history, it's been young people who have led these protests, and they're leading it again.
What do you make of the media coverage so far of Occupy Wall Street?
Well, I thought the media coverage at the beginning was almost invisible in the mainstream corporate media until there was an act of police brutality where a New York City police officer just walked up to a woman who was nonviolently protesting and who was penned in by orange a fence made up of, I don't know, they just roll this fence out in nylon maybe or plastic, and they just walked up to her and sprayed mace in her face. I mean, that was the first time that the corporate media, to my knowledge, started to pay any serious attention to this. But now the media coverage is a little better. There is an article in today's New York Times about this protest in Wall Street occupying Wall Street, going all around the country. As you mentioned, it's going to happen in Wisconsin, but it's also happening in Chicago and Boston and Portland, Maine, and St. Louis and Kansas City, Kansas. And there's one ongoing right now in Los Angeles. So this is striking a nerve. And the nerve that it strikes is we have been taken advantage of and we are not represented. And the government and the economy don't work for us. And that's an important nerve to hit. And it's a hard reflex then to calm down.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Facebook and tweets talking about the plans to occupy Madison and Milwaukee. There is there's a video going around that says that activists will occupy Reynolds Park in Madison on October the 7th. There is also on Saturday, October the 15th. Now, this is new. I hadn't seen this. Occupy Wisconsin on Saturday, October the 15th in Madison, Milwaukee, and Appleton. And activists are saying they will take the square in Madison on that day, October the 15th. So this is coming to a community near you in Wisconsin too, Matt.
Yeah, it's building. And I imagine it should get a huge crowd in Milwaukee and in Madison. I thought ever since the protest kind of died down at the end of March that there was still a latent demand for protest among people who are still outraged at what Scott Walker has done. And I think that will combine with these forces who are saying the whole economy is rigged against us. The one in Milwaukee is going to start at 11 in the morning at Zeidler Park on October 15th, and then at 12 be at the Chase Bank at 301 West Michigan Street. I know at 111 East Wisconsin Avenue. at 12 o'clock on October 15th in Milwaukee. So I think I'm encouraging people to go out and nonviolently protest the unjust economy that we're living in.
We are talking about the Occupy movement, which is growing in this country and spreading to Wisconsin as well. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about what is what's happening in the streets. Are you planning on participating in any of these protests? What do you think of all this? Do you support what's going on? Do you disagree with what's being protested? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And you can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. We know that there are some Wisconsin activists who are right now in New York, and we'd love to hear from you. If you are there, what are you doing there? How are things this morning? Checking the weather forecast for today. It's going to be sunny and mild with highs mainly in the mid to upper 70s. Tomorrow, sunny, very mild with highs in southern Wisconsin getting into the low 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 4th. A normal fall pledge drive on Wisconsin Public Radio goes for 12 days, but not this next one. We have slashed it in half. So we will try to raise as much money as needed to bring you the programming that you desire, that you value, in half the time. The amount of your gift is up to you, but whatever you give, it lets us know that you appreciate a shorter pledge drive. So you can give before the pledge drive starts. The pledge drive starts actually a week from today. You can give now at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Matt Rothschild. He is the publisher of the Progressive magazine, and we are talking about the Occupy movement, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. To the phones we go. Lauren in Delavan is with us. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, Joy. Thank you very much for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is one of the remarks your guest made that, you know, the protesters, their motivation is the poor economy and lack of jobs. And having a daughter in that age group, I can certainly testify that that is the problem. But why are they picking on Wall Street, which is not the stem of the problem? It's the economic policies and decision of the current administration that has caused these problems that we have today. I mean, it's like it'd be equivalent of protesting an ATM machine because some people can get more money out of it than other people. You got to look at who's loading the machine up. So,
hold on, Lauren. They should be in Washington, D.C., Matt?
Well, there is going to be a protest in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, which I'm actually going to protest the economy and also the 10th anniversary of the Afghan War. But to Lauren's point, which I totally disagree with, which is that it was the economic policies of the Obama administration that got us into this mess. That's simply not true. I mean, what got us into this mess was the abdication by the scandalous actions by the private sector, especially Wall Street, by messing around with totally unregulated instruments. They were allowed to do so because Bill Clinton and a lot of Republicans in 1999 took down Glass-Steagall, the wall between investment banking and commercial banking, and allowed all this unregulated activity to go on, and they made ridiculous bets. The banks did, and then bets on bad bets and bad bets on bad bets, and then the whole house of cards fell down, and it fell down on us. So Wall Street is precisely the place it should be. I'm not a huge defender of the Barack Obama administration, but I have to say that the first jobs program, the first stimulus program of the Obama administration did help the economy from going even further down and created about 2 million jobs, even by John McCain's old economist's estimation, Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics, one of the chief economic analysts in the country. Has recognized that the stimulus program created a couple million jobs. If it wasn't for that, we'd be worse off. I do think the Obama administration should have done more, especially with Wall Street. When he had the banks on their knees, Bank of America, Citibank, were going to go out of business, and they were just basically allowed to come get $700 billion. Do you want it or not? Take it or leave it. They took it. But why not instead at that point say, yes, you can be bailed out. Yes, you can survive. Yes, you can keep your stock options. But at the same time, you got to do something for the people of this country. So you've got to reduce the principal on everybody's mortgage, or you've got to do a foreclosure moratorium for a year, something to allow the economy to recover and take a little haircut for give a little haircut to the bankers. But none of that happened. Instead, it was just, here's the money, grab it.
Absolutely incorrect.
Well, what's your follow-up, Lauren?
Well, my follow-up is he just said himself that it was Bill Clinton and the Congress were the ones who removed the regulations from the banking industry for political reasons to try to increase their voter bases. And the banks responded by saying, okay, you want us to give away free money? We'll do it. And they're just responding to what the government mandated they do. So, again, the stem of the problem is the government, not the banks.
Well, the government need to regulate more. It wasn't just Bill Clinton. Actually, it was Phil Graham's bill, who was a Texas Republican, who was really pushing it hard. The government didn't mandate that the banks gamble as irresponsibly as absolutely possible. It allowed them to do that, and that's what happens when you allow capitalism to run unregulated. It destroys itself.
Thank you very much, Lauren, for the call. Our next caller is Mike in Appleton. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing? Just for Lauren, the last caller, take a look at some of the articles Matt Taibbi has been writing about Wall Street. Read the book, Too Big to Fail. The problem with the banking system in this country is that they weren't doing predatory home loans to people and giving these kind of balloon rates that kind of destroy the housing bubble. Hedge fund managers were betting against kind of American people in terms of selling really bad stocks, knowing it, in order to make money. So the banking industry is not innocent in this whole thing, because in the last few years, there have been, not all, but there have been some criminal practices going on. And even today, when we take a look at what happened when Obama came in, they kind of got a free pass. But the main point I wanted to make was when we take a look at media coverage of the Occupy movement, contrast that to the early beginnings of the Tea Party movement. I remember watching the Tea Party movement with the healthcare talkback sessions, and the media it was wall-to-wall coverage, and they were calling these people patriots. But yet, even when I protested in Madison, the protest in Madison and also the Occupy movement really hasn't gotten a lot of media attention, and from the majority that I've seen, it's been mostly negative, kind of questioning the motives, questioning, well, why don't they have a declaration, which is kind of dopey because the action of disobedience itself is a message itself. So I think the question I wanted to raise to your guest is, why is it that the Tea Party, pretty much when you have like maybe 100 people at a gathering, the media is all over it, but when you have thousands of people protesting the way this country is going, based upon the corporate interest, based upon the banks, and yes, based upon our politicians, our media is quiet. Is it because it is corporatized?
Well, I think that's a part of it, and there is a snide tendency on many in the corporate media to belittle the protesters, especially protesters on the left. But Mike's right that, you know, they just loved the Tea Party movement at the beginning, especially, and sometimes just totally distorted what was going on. I remember the huge protest in Madison, the pro-labor protest, the anti-Walker protest, at the same time that there was a Tea Party protest on the square, and there wasn't more than, 2,000 or 3,000 Tea Party people, and there are about 80,000 or 100,000 pro-labor people. And the media coverage was, well, there are two protests on the square. There's the Tea Party protest, and there's the pro-labor protest. And it showed a picture of the huge crowd, and you couldn't tell, it was though it was half and half. And then I actually heard one program that said there was a Tea Party protest in Madison today, and they showed the crowd and didn't mention that the 90% of those people or more than that were anti-Walker protests. So there's been a lot of bias in the coverage of the protests in Wisconsin. There's been bias the other way in the coverage of the Tea Party movement. One clear example is Fox, which was just a megaphone for the Tea Party movement and the Republican Party. And the Tea Party movement is a part of the Republican Party. And so you don't have that on the other side when people start protesting Wall Street, of course.
I found a piece on Fox News, the Fox News website, yesterday that says this. In the 3 weeks' time that the Occupy Wall Street crowd has been has attracted high-profile attention, it has the purported backing of unions like the Teamsters and DC-37, but the movement has at least one major obstacle to becoming a political force. The administration it would protest is on its side. What do you think?
Well, I don't think that Barack Obama is pulling the strings of these protesters out there. I think if you looked at or looked at their signs or listened to some of their speeches, I think they've been critical of the Obama administration. There's a protest coming up later this week that's going to be very critical of the Obama administration. So, and it's not in the interest of the Obama administration to have protesters talking about how Wall Street is running the country and how Wall Street's been rewarded for its criminality and venality and greed. So I don't really understand that. It is true that there are union supporters. They're coming out today, I think, in droves at Wall Street, some of the unions in New York. So that's one of the interesting things about this protest. It keeps growing and growing and growing. But the idea that it's coming out of the White House, it wasn't called by the White House. It was called by a Canadian left-wing magazine called Adbusters, and who've been extremely critical of Barack Obama. So, including showing Barack Obama shaking hands with Mubarak right before the fall of Egypt.
We have just a minute before Newsmap, but this piece on Fox News was saying that this Occupy movement was not necessarily going to reach the status of the Tea Party movement.
Well, I think it's exceeding the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement, after all, was funded by the Koch brothers and funded by, Dick Armes, the former representative from Texas and right-wing conservative, by his organization, and this is a spontaneous uprising. It's quite different and much more impressive.
We are talking about the Occupy movement, which has been protesting in New York City for the last 3 weeks or so and is moving to other cities across the country and will be occupying Wisconsin soon. On October the 15th, an Occupy Wisconsin protest is planned in Madison, Milwaukee, and in Appleton. We're welcoming your thoughts and questions about this Occupy movement. And we'll continue taking your questions and calls after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. So what is the Occupy Wall Street movement all about? And are you, at least in spirit, walking with the demonstrators? Or are you scratching your head over what's going on? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Tuesday, October the 4th. We are talking about these protests that have been going on for about 3 weeks now in New York City. And are moving across the country. In fact, we'll be coming to Wisconsin soon. Our guest is Matt Rothschild, publisher of the Progressive magazine based in Madison. And our number, if you have a question or a comment, is 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. And we know that there are some Wisconsin activists who are out participating in the Occupy Wall Street movement in New York right now. And we have been told that one will be calling in before the half hour is out. So we look forward to hearing from a protester from Wisconsin on the scene. And let's go back to the phones, Matt. Our next caller is Scott in Green Bay. Hello, Scott.
Hi. Yeah, I kind of basically agree with your guest, but I think some of the stuff regarding, like corporate power and stuff is oversimplified, because like over the years I've encountered people and talked about like, oh, you know, corporations this or corporations that, and people would be like, somebody might be like, oh, I'm a part, you know, I own like two corporations, and I think we're like kind of talking past each other, because when I was talking about corporations, it mostly meant these huge things with like that you own stock, that you could own stock in, but like I've come to learn that there are also you can basically kind of start a small business in the state and register it as a corporation, but not be in the stock market. And also with the corporation, I think it's basically like the corporation is a legally constructed entity, and it gets all these privileges such as limited liability. So if the owners like to dump all this stuff in the river, you know, they have limited liability. They don't, you know, that's totally unfair, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, Scott. So your point is that not all businesses are evil corporations?
Well, yeah, because you can start a sole proprietorship or a partnership, and that doesn't, you know, that you don't get all these extra privileges such as limited liability. Yeah.
Do you think, Matt, that there's confusion over that?
Well, corporate, I mean, the people who have power, when I say corporate power, it's not the mom and pop, you know, bagel shop or donut shop or restaurant or small entrepreneur somewhere in Wisconsin who's just starting up a business and has five employees. I'm talking about the biggest companies in this country. And I'm talking about the top 1% of the wealthiest people in this country whose share of income and wealth has just gotten gigantic over the last 20 years. Those are the people who run the country. Those are the people who finance the campaigns of the politicians, which allows them to run the country and allows them to have so much influence over the laws that are made that the whole system is rigged for them. And it's not someone who's starting their business and barely making a go right now. You know, if I could just give a couple statistics, between 1980 and 2008, the top 1% share of income in this country rose from 10% to 21%. And as far as wealth, it went from 33% to 40%. Top 1% brings down 40% of the wealth in this country and hogs more than 20% of the income. I mean, that's a huge disparity in wealth and income. As Fighting Bob LaFollette used to say, I mean, we need to start talking about redistributing wealth and income in this country.
So that's at least one of the goals, tax that 1% more than they're being taxed?
Well, I did see the echo of the expression in Wisconsin at our protests here in Madison and around the state against Walker. If you want to fix the budget, how are you going to fix the budget? Tax, tax, tax the rich was the chant here in Madison. And that chant was echoed at these protests. I saw them saying the same thing, tax the rich. So, yes, that is one of the demands. People are saying they have no demands. Well, there's one demand, very concrete demand.
In fact, one of the activists who is out protesting in New York, was active in the Capitol protests throughout the spring, and she wrote a piece that was in the Isthmus recently, or on the daily page of the Isthmus alternative newspaper in Madison. She says that the Occupy Wall Street movement, in a way, has its roots in Madison. Do you agree that that's where this all started?
I certainly think that what happened here in Madison had a tremendous positive effect for activists around the country and for average citizens. It showed people that you can, again, assert your voice as a citizen of this country. And it just had a tremendous ripple effect. First, I think we saw it in Ohio and then other places like Michigan and even New Hampshire and New Jersey. But I do think that here in Wisconsin, people can take some claim for getting this whole ball rolling. And I think we should be proud of ourselves. Let's remember, the protests in February and March were the single biggest mass sustained protest ever in the history of the United States for public sector workers.
Laverne in Monroe is with us. Hello, Laverne.
Oh, hello, Joy. Great program.
Well, thanks for calling, Laverne. What do you think?
Hello, Matt.
Hi, Laverne.
I think it's a great idea. I think they should tax that wealthy 1%. But I do think the banks are the problem, because we read this book, Too Big to Fail. It's exactly on Lehman Brothers and the way they use hedge funds and derivatives. They're still not regulated. And what's causing the deal from Bank of America to raise their debit cards, $5 month, is the cause that they got with these derivatives and hedge funds. They got to try to recoup their funds some way. The federal government still has to regulate the hedge funds and derivative market. Well, the hedge fund dealers should pay more than 50% in their taxes.
Hey, so Laverne, are you going to be participating in Occupy Wisconsin?
Outside of talking on your station, probably not.
All right. Thanks, Laverne. So what about those hedge fund dealers, Matt?
Well, I do think they should pay, more than 15% on their income. I mean, the person who's working, making $40,000, $50,000 a year is paying, much more than that, double that. And so that's an outrage. But also we need to regulate, as Laverne was saying, these derivative deals that are unregulated and led to the huge problem that made the collapse on Wall Street happen. And it's amazing right now that they're not being regulated. And it's a crime that they're not.
Again, the Occupy movement is moving to other cities across the country. There is an Occupy Wisconsin movement set for Saturday, October the 15th in Madison, Milwaukee, and in Appleton. And there is another Occupy Madison event being planned for October 7th in Reynolds Park in Madison. So this Occupy movement is moving across the country, including coming here to Wisconsin. Martha in Menominee is with us. Hello, Martha.
Hi, good morning. I'm thrilled to hear this. It's wonderful to hear it on your show, which is actually a radio station I can get in Menominee, Wisconsin. Finally, I'm hearing something on the radio that I believe in, and not just what corporate America wants me to hear. Fantastic. Great show. I would be there if I could, but I'm there in spirit. So
why are you there in spirit?
Well, I just think that at a time when the Supreme Court has said that corporations are people and can have as big a voice as an individual, historically, we've seen this a lot. When the government or the courts have said something is okay, that people finally have enough, and here we go. It's round three or four. It's not racial this time. It's not, spiritual. It's not religious. It's an economic uprising. Gerald Celente has predicted this. It's a groundswell. This is only the beginning. It's the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. Go progressive.
All right. Thank you, Martha. Corporations are people. There was a sign during the protest that says, if corporations are people, why can't we put them in jail?
Mm-hmm. So both that sign and Martha's call are relating to the Citizens United Supreme Court decision in January of 2010 that said corporations are people and corporations can give unlimited funds from their corporate treasury to influence who is elected or not elected to office. And it just makes a mockery of our democracy. We're never going to have a democracy in this country so long as that Citizens United decision is on the books. And that's why a lot of people are urging an amendment to the Constitution that would simply say corporations are not people. Corporations do not have the right to use their money to influence an election. And there's a group called Move to Amend, movetoamend.org, that's done a lot of tremendous work and has a lot of leadership coming out of Wisconsin, too, movetoamend.org.
Matt, are we witnessing a war in class warfare?
Well, class warfare goes on. I'm not crazy about the term warfare as a metaphor, but class warfare is always going on. I mean, right now, for the last 40 years, the upper class has been winning, and it's been taking no prisoners in this war. And I think people finally are saying, you know, we've had enough of this. We've had enough of being beat and beat and beat, and we're going to fight back nonviolently. And that's what has to happen. It just amazes me then when people like Paul Ryan say, oh, you're engaging in class warfare, when Barack Obama says we should increase the top marginal income tax rate from 35% to 39.6%, where it was in Bill Clinton's day. Hell, in the 1970s, it was 70%, and under Dwight D. Eisenhower, it was 92%. Look, there's always a struggle going on between the people who have the power and the wealth and everybody else.
So help me understand why the Tea Party movement, for the most part, says limited government, no tax increases, limited taxes, cut social spending. The Tea Party movement doesn't want to see apparently that 1% get taxed more.
Well, the Tea Party movement is incoherent ideologically if you look what they're saying, and it's very coherent if you look beneath the surface because it's just a front group for the far right part of the Republican Party. But the idea that they were against government spending, they should have been out in the street in droves when George W. Bush was president of the United States. The idea that they were against government encroachment from a libertarian perspective, you know, they should have been out in the street in droves against Bush for the Patriot Act and the U.S., the Military Commissions Act and all the other things that George W. Bush was doing. So it's a ruse, a lot of what their opening kind of expressions were. Not that everyone in the Tea Party movement, I don't want to be confused here, is simply on a string from the Koch brothers. I don't believe that. I do think that the Tea Party movement, once it got funded from the top, got some support in the base. I was out on April 15th in Madison the last couple of years when the Tea Party comes to town with my reporter's pad and talking to people, and they don't like big government. They also feel, I think, like some of these people on Wall Street, maybe protesting on Wall Street, that they have no power. So there's this rage at the bottom. There's a rage among people on the right, and there's also this feeling of being disempowered on the left. And I'm hoping that the protests, the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Wisconsin protests will get some of the coverage that some of that Tea Party movement got.
We are talking about the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Wisconsin movement, and wondering if you think these protesters have the right idea or not, or what your questions and reactions are to these demonstrations that have been going on for 3 weeks now in New York and are growing and moving across the country. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and see all of the various links to what's going on there on Facebook. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Quick check of the weather. It's going to be mostly sunny and mild today with highs mainly in the mid to upper 70s statewide. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Norella School of Photography, dedicated to building a community of photography lovers. Now offering classes and experiences for beginners as well as advanced photographers. More at narella-school.com.
You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 this morning, it is On Your Money with financial planner Kevin McKinley. Then stay tuned after 9 o'clock. Kathleen Dunn will be talking more about the Occupy movement with two guests coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. We are talking about the growing Occupy movement, the demonstrations going on in New York and many other cities across the country with Matt Rothschild. He is publisher of the Progressive Magazine based in Madison. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Oh, and Matt, look, I have online one of the demonstrators, one of the protesters from the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street movement. Ed Knutson from Milwaukee joins us by telephone. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on today?
Well, people are just waking up right now.
What? You haven't been out in the streets yet?
No, there's probably about 300 people here who spent the night last night.
And what, spent the night where? Where are you and you just slept outside?
Well, I didn't personally. Mm-hmm. It's called Zuccotti Park. And frankly, I've never seen so many tarps in my entire life. I'd say it's about half the size of a city block, but the ground is almost covered with people and equipment.
Yeah, and are you going to be what are you going to do today?
Well, I'm walking over to where they have a sign set up. There's sort of a schedule posted near the entrance of the park. The drum circle's just getting going.
That sounds familiar, the drum circle. Well, tell us why you are there, Ed. What is it that, why did you feel it was important to go to Occupy Wall Street?
Well, full disclosure, it's kind of a dual purpose for me because I'm on a business trip at the same time. But I participated a lot in the movement in winter and spring, that came out of Madison. And I see a lot of similarities here. So it was kind of important for me to go and check it out and see for myself, what might be the same, what might be different, if there's people I can get information from or, more importantly, share information with.
What do you hope this accomplishes?
Well, I think awareness is probably the number one thing. So, and that's a pretty common sentiment that there's just a lot of people who aren't really paying attention to what's going on or aren't able to access information. So there's like this financial crisis and the general feeling is that the wrong people are getting blamed and the wrong people are getting asked via shared sacrifice and that sort of thing to do something about it. So I think the idea is to just get everybody on the same page first and foremost. And I think that's what the assembly process is all about, just kind of like getting a group together where people listen to each other. If you have some information that you don't feel the group has shared yet, you know, you can get up there and tell everybody what you think. And so through that process, you wind up with a lot of people with a fairly complex understanding of what the situation is.
Yeah. And is there a Wisconsin contingent in New York City, or are you there with other people from Wisconsin right now?
I think there's like three or four other people from Wisconsin who have been here. One of them has been here since possibly the first day. One of them got here a week ago. My friend and I just got to New York yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And are you planning on being involved with the Occupy Wisconsin effort that's taking place later this month?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have something to do with that. I definitely went to the planning meeting in Milwaukee, and I was part of a group that actually planned an activity on September 17th, the first day of Occupy Wall Street, because it was actually an international day of action. There were demonstrations in Spain, France, Italy, Greece, Israel, and they were all with the theme of holding the banking system responsible for the financial crisis.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much, Ed, for joining us. We appreciate your time this morning.
Absolutely. Very nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. Ed Knutson from Milwaukee. He is in New York participating in the Occupy Wall Street movement there. And Matt Rothschild, any reaction to the Wisconsin participation in these protests?
Well, I'm not surprised that there are people from Wisconsin there, because what happened here in Wisconsin was so invigorating to tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And the experience of the people who are doing the activism, I think, translates directly to Wall Street. The thing that struck me about what Ed was saying was the wrong people have been blamed, the wrong people have had to sacrifice. And I think that's the essential issue here with the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy other cities demonstrations that we're seeing. You know, the prevailing sign and slogan there, "We are the 99%, says it all to me. You know, majority of the people in this country aren't benefiting from the economy. The economy doesn't work for us. We don't have economic justice in this country. We don't have economic democracy in this country. And these are huge issues that they're bringing to our attention. So I'd just like to encourage people to go to Occupy Wisconsin on October 15th. You can Google Occupy Wisconsin or find it on Facebook.
One last call from Mary Pat in Wauwatosa. Mary Pat, thanks for waiting. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, hi. I'll be quick. I just wanted to say that I did find a document online through the PBS NewsHour. They had a link to Declaration of the Occupation of New York City, and it was, I think, put on the website on September 29th. It's pretty comprehensive, and it does talk about quite a number of issues. If you want to find it again, PBS NewsHour has a link through one of their articles.
Thank you very much, Mary Pat. We have just a minute to go. I thought that Mary Pat also wanted to say that maybe we're witnessing a new political party here. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I don't think it's a new political party. It's a new political uprising. And it may be something that's with us for a long time. It may be analogous to the rise of the civil rights movement or the rise of the anti-Vietnam War movement. It's a new progressivism. It's a new anti-corporate pro-democracy movement. And that's what's so exciting about it. It's time that we had an economy that worked for a majority of the Americans and not just the top 1%.
Matt, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. Matt Rothschild, publisher of The Progressive Magazine, based in Madison, talking with us about the Occupy movement, which is coming to Wisconsin October the 15th. There will be more on the Occupy Wall Street protests coming up with Kathleen Dunn and her guests after 9 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned for another edition, an Oktoberfest edition of On Your Money, coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.